Amen. Now, did everyone hear from the Lord at the end of this week now? We've been at this for 6 days already. Did everyone finally hear? Or are there some you still didn't hear at all? Not at home? Not here? Wow. Well, that's good. At least you know when you didn't hear. You know, some people think they've heard something and they didn't hear anything. So it's a good thing. That doesn't mean that you're deaf. That means that you have good ears. Amen? And that God will speak. And when he speaks, you will know that he just spoke. Praise the Lord. Now, does anyone care to share something that they think they heard from the Lord that will not be too private? You know, something that you're willing to share. Anyone willing to share something that they heard from the Lord? No? Not willing to share? I'm the only one that's bold enough to share stuff. Okay. All right. Well, praise God. Well, let me continue. I'm going to share some things, and then we're going to do certain things based on the instruction of the Lord. One of the things that I placed before the Lord was to know what to do when we come to the final day. What exactly do you want done? And how can we have the breakthrough that we need? Now, when we talk about 7 days of silence, I'm sure most of you will have a reference point or something that you think about. When I say 7 days of silence, what do you think about first? Jericho. And you'll be right. Now, in the push to Jericho, Jericho was going to be the first fruit that belonged to God. Everything that the people of God were going to receive in Jericho, the victory they were going to receive in Jericho, they were going to resign completely to God. Nobody was supposed to touch anything that was in Jericho. Everything belonged to God, and everything had to be wiped out. Now, that was God's first fruit. Just like God had the first fruit in the garden, Jericho was God's first fruit. And another, and in a sense, the meaning Jericho, the meaning of the word Jericho is fragrance. And when you think about fragrance, you automatically come to the realization of something that gives a scent, a smell. And to God, there are two key factors that he calls fragrance. First is the offering, and the second is our prayers. Those two things come to God as a smell, a fragrance. He smells that. He smells our prayers. He smells our offerings. Those are two factors. And so Jericho was the first place that God was declaring in the promised land as his offering. This is my offering. This is my first fruit. And in this place are people going to praise me, and their prayers are going to be heard in this place. And that is the place that the enemy fights us. He fights us there where we are in the midst of the promise of God. The enemy comes and fights. And as I was coming this evening, I was thinking about this week. This week has been an exciting week for me, but at the same time, in a sense, it's been a very difficult week. Difficult in so many ways, because of different challenges that have presented themselves before me, and things that I can look at and be discouraged by, or things that I can look at and it can cause me a sense of turbulence in my spirit. And as I was coming, I said, but Lord, in the midst of all of this, you protected me because you gave me this opportunity to focus my attention. If my attention was not focused, I would be wavering. And God did something to help me be together. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, you guys think you're the only ones who go through circumstances or challenges. If you think about it, I don't only have to deal with my issues, I have to deal with your issues. I have to carry a lot of stuff. I have to pray through a lot of stuff for so many of you that you don't know about, you're clueless about. And sometimes it's things that the Lord may have shown to me 2 years or 3 years before now. I was talking to somebody today, and what I told them about their particular situation, I guess about 2 years ago, to the exact detail, this week was presented to them. I told them, this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen, and this is where it's going to be at. And I told them 2 years ago about it. Because God sees way ahead. Amen? You cannot be a shepherd and not see ahead and know how to help the people maneuver through situations. So I go through whatever it is you're going through as God reveals it to me, because God has to have somebody in the earth that is speaking about certain things. Amen? And so I was talking to the Lord about certain things and different challenges. I said, thank you, Lord. You protected me. Now, in Joshua chapter 6, I'm going to read verse 1. It says, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. None went out and none came in. Jericho was straitly shut up. Jericho was shut up, was locked up, and was locked up because of the children of Israel. There are things that God has for us that the enemy has locked up because of you, locked up because the enemy doesn't want you to get in or get out. He could care less whether he gets in or gets out. He doesn't want you to get in. But one of the things we found out as we've studied the Word of God, one of the benefits of listening to God is that we have this access to come in and come out and find good pasture and know the blessings of God, because we've heard God and we've listened to God. You'll be blessed in your going out and blessed in your coming in. When you listen to God, you will go through Jesus and you'll find pasture. When you go in or you come out, you find pasture, the blessing of the Lord, because you are always in the blessing. The blessing of God has pursued you, tracked you, landed on you, overtaken you. So everything behind you that used to be a curse is now graced with the scent and the fragrance of the blessing. If you cannot, can you understand what I'm talking about? you've been walking in the curse because the blessing has not been there. And now the blessing of God comes after you, catches up to you. And so wherever it is that you were has now been graced by the blessing that came after you, caught up to you, made you the blessing, and now it is ahead of you. So now, even if you go back, you are still stepping in the blessing. Everywhere you are now is the blessing, because the blessing was behind you, came after you, overtook you, and is now ahead of you. So that's why you're blessing, you're going out or coming in. But Jericho is shut up so that no one can come in and no one can go out. And God says to the people of Israel, I want you to go there. And when you get there, I want everybody to shut up. I want you to go around that city once every day. Now, the only people that were to shut up were the people. But there was a sound that was going forth every day. Do you know what sound that was? Huh? Okay, there are steps. That's good. Yeah, that's good. There are steps. There's something else. The trumpets. The shofar was being blown. Every day, the shofar was being blown. Now, we did not blow the shofar every day, but today we are going to blow the shofar. The shofar was being blown every day as they went across, but the people were silent. Now, what is the shofar? What does it represent? For you to get that horn, the animal that that horn came from died. So, the one thing that was crying out was something that had shed his blood. Are you with me so far? And as we have been silent, it is like this. You've been silent when your advocate is representing you. You shut your mouth and your lawyer represents you. Are we together so far? Okay, so their silence was a silence so that the mediator can represent them. And so as we've been silent, there's been a voice that's been crying. And that voice cannot be neglected. It is the voice of the blood of Jesus Christ that cries out on our behalf. Praise the Lord. Every situation is being addressed. Every fault is being addressed. Every question is being answered. Actually, I was praying with somebody today, and I said, Jesus, you are not the answer to this circumstance. You answer it. There's a difference. When Jesus answers your circumstance, he confronts your circumstance. It's not just a solution. He confronts it and subdues it and causes the victory to be established for you and for me. Praise the Lord. So as we've been silent, sure, we've been wanting to hear God. We've been training ourselves to listen to the voice of the Lord. But hidden behind that is that the voice of God has been speaking on our behalf. God has been speaking and addressing every situation that stood against you in any way, shape, or form. God has been faithfully confronting every enemy and declaring victory for you and for me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So for 6 days, it went on like that. And on the seventh day, they went across around that great city. seven times. The trumpets were blasting away. And with the instruction of the Lord, they shouted. Now there was a formation, an interesting formation. The formation does not make any sense in the natural. Let me read it to you, and you'll see what the formation looks like. But before I begin to deal with that particular aspect, like I said, tonight is going to be totally different from what we've done the last 6 days. Tonight is different. He says, and the Lord, verse 2 of Joshua 6, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. I've given to you three things. I've given to you Jericho, the city. I've given to you the leader of Jericho. And I've given to you the protectors of Jericho, the defenders of Jericho. I've given you the city, I've given you its defense, and I've given you its leadership, its king. Amen? These three I have given to you. He says, see it. God said to him, see. Now, think about this. If God says to him, see, I have given you the king of Jericho, I've given you its king, I've given you its mighty men of valor. What did God say to him to do? I'm asking a question. What did God say to do? Simple. Huh? Okay, he's going to tell him to do that shortly. But what did he tell him to do? To see. He says, see it. Now, if God says for you to see, He's giving you the right to have an imagination. Image it. Now, do you remember the prophet coming to, I've forgotten the name, I think it was King Joash. He tells him to strike arrows down and to shoot. And he struck, I think, two or three times. The prophet was upset with him and said, you should have stricken these arrows many more times and you've wiped out that enemy. He didn't tell him how many times. He just said, strike the arrows. If you hate your enemy that much, bang, 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 bang. You do what you want to do. When God said, see, He was instructing him, what do you see? How far do you want this enemy cut down? Do you want anything left? Or do you want them all gone? And today we're going to do certain things. And I want you to see. Because I don't know what stands between you and the victory God has ordained for you. I don't know what your challenges are. You may not know what my challenges are. But today we are going to put all of those things in the past. Amen? Hallelujah? We're going to see something. And in just a moment, our time of silence will be for us to see. Look, see. Whether God gives you a vision or you make up the vision. He said, see. See, the king down, defeated. See, that city is yours. See, their mighty men defeated. He said, see. What do you see for your family? What are you looking at? What do you see? What do you see for your children? What do you see for this church, for this ministry? What do you see concerning God's hand and calling on your life? What do you see for your business or your employment? What do you see for your retirement or whatever it is that you believe in God for? What do you see? What do you see? You need to see something tonight. You may be listening to me online. You need to see something tonight. Tonight is a night that God commands us to see. And if you have to pray, you say, God, enlarge my vision. Enlarge my capacity to see. See things for my family. See things for my children. See things for my marriage. See things for my business. See things for my church. See things for whatever it is that you need to see. What life do you see for yourself? God says, see, I have given to you. I've put this city, Jericho, into your hand. See, I have given into thine hand, Jericho. I've given it to you. It's in your hand. And the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And then he says, and ye shall compass the city. You're going to compass the city. All ye men of war, and go round about the city once. You're going to go around the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. You're going to go around that city once. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. Watch this now. 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Now God told him, this is what I'm going to do. And then God told him, order duties. You're going to do this. You're going to go around the city. See this? I'm going to do this. I'm going to give you the king. I'm going to give you the city. I'm going to give you the king. I'm going to give you the mighty men of valor. I'm going to do all of those things. Now, instruction, I want you to go around the city once every day. And you're going to have the priests before the ark. And watch this. He's going to get more detailed. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city. And let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. Wait a minute. The priests were supposed to be there first. But now the people, he says, armed men be before the priest. And these armed men that are before the priest are head, then the priest, then the ark. Wow. That's how they crossed the Jordan. The people crossed, and the priest and the ark were waiting in the water before, after everybody crossed to the other side, then they came on. What is God doing? This is God saying, listen, I have already cleared up the path because you see, I've gone ahead and I've cleared the pathway. Now, my priests are going to come. They're going to blow the horn. The ark is going to come and I'm going to be at the backside. I'm already ahead of you by giving you my word. I'm behind you with my presence, the Ark of the Covenant. Amen? Are you with me so far? Okay. All right. So this is God saying, I'm ahead of you already by the word that I've spoken. And by your vision that you now see, I'm already ahead of you. Now, I want my priest to come alongside, blowing the trumpet. And the trumpet, you see, that when God created Satan, there was one instrument that he was not built with. He had strings, he had every other instrument built into him. It was built into him. But he did not have the trumpet. He did not have the shofar. And every time he hears the shofar, the trumpet, what he hears is this my last moment? It's my time up. And when that trumpet was being blown, it was God putting fear into the heart of the enemy, telling the enemy, you're defeated already. You're defeated already. You're defeated already. You're defeated already. Look at my armed men. They're coming through. My armed men are coming through. The armed men were right in front. And the trumpet is blasting away, declaring the defeat of the enemy, putting a fear into the enemy. Now, when I was, what country was that? I was in Tanzania. I was ministering a word to the people, and I began to share with them that the enemy has to confess his defeat. Even before you say anything. And I use the story of Gideon. The story of Gideon, when Gideon was going to go against the Midianites, Gideon was still afraid, and then God said to him, he says, okay, tell you what, I want you to go to the camp of the enemy and hear what they're saying. So he goes to the camp of the enemy, and he hears these guys confessing their defeat. This guy had a dream about this big loaf of bread that rolled into the camp and wiped everything out. And one said, what does this mean? What does this mean? He says, it's nothing but the sword of Gideon. How did they know about Gideon? God put that name and that interpretation in their mouth. And today, when we begin in a moment, when we are going to stay quiet, it might be for 5 minutes, it might be 10 minutes, it might be 20 minutes, it might be whatever. But when it's enough time, I'm going to come up. I want you to see the vision of God. If you have to list particular things and see the vision, whatever it is that you want to see, see that. But may I make a suggestion to you? Whatever it is that you see, tell God, if I've not seen perfectly, if I've belittled what you want to do, I am in agreement with whatever it is that you want done, but this is my way of getting this thing started. This is my seed. Amen? This is my seed. Make it become whatever it is that you want it to be. You know, I was driving by a building today on Arlington, and we had gone into that building years ago. We're looking for a church building, the place to meet. This is right at the corner of Arlington and the First Street, south of Inkster. There's this little building in there. And I shook my head. I said, my God, what on earth was I doing thinking of going into that building to make it a church? How small was my vision? Thank you, Lord, for saving me from that mess. But when we were going there to look at it, it was exciting. Oh, we're looking at this building. Oh, this, maybe we can make it work. It's a lousy place. It's not big enough for anything. But that's where my heart was. It was based on my little thinking. But God took that. At least he's thinking about something. Are you with me? He's thinking about something. And when God led me here, he knew that when I saw this place, I was going to think, way too big. Oh no, it's not possible, because where I was coming from, I couldn't even pay the rent. And so when I saw this place, because he led me from Maryland, and I drove down Maryland into Arlington and came down Inkster. And when I came by Cathedral over there, the Lord pointed to it. He said, see that building? Go take it. And before I could argue the point, I was over here and was turning around. And he says, and by the way, if you don't take it, I will personally close this church down. I said, what? What did you just tell me? You're going to personally close the church down if I don't go take that big building? A month and a half later, we were in here. Hallelujah. God started with something little. So what I'm saying to you today is this. Whatever it is that you are going to see, which God show me something, and if you're not seeing, just start with something. Start with something. It is not going to be an evil imagination. God said to Joshua, see, I have given. See, whatever it is. My marriage is blessed. I have a happy home. My business is prosperous. I'm making $200 million every year. Whatever it is that you see. Maybe your $200 million, I see $200 million. God is, get you. Anyway, I'll take that. I'll start with that. And you end up with $10 billion. It's okay. What you started with, whatever you could see. Amen? Small faith, small as a mustard seed. Yeah? Okay? Don't kick yourself and say, I was thinking too small. You know, yeah, I saw this the building today, and I'm saying, what was I thinking? It's like I years ago, you know, we used to see these dingy little houses on down whatever street that was, on Kuwaitin, is it Kuwaitin, Keniston? Those military houses, and some here over here in the north end, and say, oh God, if only we could have one of those. What? What? Crazy thinking. But God, at least he's thinking about getting a house. I can work with this. But if you're not thinking about anything, he can't help you with nothing. As a man thinketh, so is he. Amen? So, we're going to let God speak to us today. It is not going to be, it's an evil imagination if you are trying to get something good and you are doing things wrong. That's evil imagination. It's an evil imagination if you're thinking evil about stuff. That's evil imagination. But if you're thinking, God, I know you can bless me with this. I know I can trust you with this. God says, I can work with that. I'm going to work with that. Amen? So you have to go. Ahead, and the priests are going to blow the trumpet and declare that whatever it is that you are doing shall come to pass. Amen? It shall come to pass. The devil is a liar. Praise the Lord. So today, we are going to engage ourselves in doing what? Seeing. We're going to engage ourselves in doing what? We're going to engage ourselves in doing what? Seeing. See something. Have your different points. Maybe start with family. Not married yet. I see myself married. I see myself having children. I see my children becoming ministers, doctors, whatever. See. See it. You see. See something. If it is wrong, God will tell you, wrong. But until God stops you, see something. For whatever it is that you call it, that is what it's going to be. You know, strangely enough, it is not very clear, it's not absolutely clear whether or not when Adam said goat, that there was a goat there. Or that the goat appeared when he said goat. Either way, everything came about by the doing of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word. He is the Word. Everything was created by what? The Word. So whether that Word came out of Adam, or it was God that pronounced everything into place, that particular aspect is not absolutely clear. So there are things that you're going to see and things that you're going to say today that are going to be released because of the word of the Lord coming through your mouth. Come with me to Habakkuk. Take me back to Habakkuk chapter 2. And then we're going to start. It says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me. I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the what? Write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. Write a vision. I'm going to watch to see. What did you see? Tonight our assignment is to do what? Good. We're going to engage ourselves to see. We want to see something. And maybe this is what I'm going to do. While I'm sitting there, I am going to mention different things. You know, just like I say, cat, what did you see? You saw a cat. Okay. All right. I'm going to mention different words, and I want you to see right away whatever it is that God is calling you to see, as broad, as narrow, as focused as you need to see it. God's vision concerning my family. What do I see? Then I'm going to say business or employment. I want you to see. So now we're going to pray a prayer, and then we're going to begin the process. Heavenly Father, we want to engage ourselves to see. And so, Lord O God, we come to you to give us not only the license to see, but the ability to see. Open our eyes, our inner eyes, to see. May we see tonight your will in heaven concerning different things that we are going to look at tonight. So, Lord O God, that every obstacle related to the things that you have for us may come down crashing, eradicated, every stumbling block removed. So, Lord, O God, that by the end of our gathering this day, whatever Jericho has been shut up, whether it is the Jericho of our health, the Jericho of our family, the Jericho of our church, the Jericho of our finances, whatever Jericho it is, that those walls come collapsing and that we ascend and possess that which you have for us. We ready ourselves to see. Open our eyes to see. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Just give me a quick moment. The Lord just reminded me of something. I don't know if I've told you this story, but when I was much younger, in primary school, I was attending a private school, and in this private school, our classes were generally very small. I think in my class, we had 12 people. And each exam, I came out at the 11th position. I was not last, but second to the last. And I had an uncle. I think I might have told you this story. I had an uncle that used to really just beat me up mercilessly because I was just failing. He called me the biggest dumb whatever. And didn't matter what I did, I couldn't make it. And I was almost coming to believe that I was a dunce. It didn't matter. It was second to the last. And one day, I had a dream. And in this dream, I saw a blackboard. And on this blackboard was written the number 3. I woke up excited. And I tell my uncle, I'm going to be third. I'm going to take third position. Bang! He hit me again. You, third. I wonder what he was expecting if he was spending all that time teaching me. He should be excited that I come back and tell him I'm going to be third. No, he beat me up real good. Well, I still remember it. Just right away, I said, improve it. But I remember he gave me an arithmetic test. And the answer to this question ended with a 0. But I did not complete the, I did not loop this 0 perfectly, and there was just a little tail, very little tail to the 0. And he marks it wrong. I said, why did you mark it wrong? This is a 0. He hit me. That's not a 0, that's a 6. I said, no, it's a 0. Pow, pow. He beat me again. I said, oh my, this guy's going to kill me. Exam time, I come out third. Wow, I'm excited. I'm third. He said, that's a fluke. Then I dreamt another dream. I saw that same blackboard. It was now a 2. I told him, I'm going to be second this time. He said, you, second. Because you took third the last time, you think you're going to be second. Pow, beat me again. What am I going to do? Exam time, I come out second. Then we moved from that city, and I came out first. And I continued. Nobody beat me in school, no more. Nobody beat me in school, no more. I went through all kinds of education. I was always at the top. I was getting A pluses till this day. How did I get from there? It started with a vision, seed form. Seed. You know, in seed, there is C. Do you see it? You see it? There is C in seed. C.